I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Nome posting video of Homeland Security investigators on the ground in Minneapolis, saying they are, quote, conducting a massive investigation on childcare and other rampant fraud. Their investigation following a viral video now has nearly 114 million views on X, where independent journalist Nick Shirley appears to show daycares and other businesses that received millions in state funds with no kids inside. Correspondent Garrett Kenny is live with more.
Yeah, Molly, the latest example of these fraud schemes in Minnesota are child care centers, where rampant fraud has seemingly been allowed to go on for years now. Quality Learning Center is just one of the child care centers that federal investigators are now looking into. And there are plenty of red flags, starting with the sign on its building that doesn't even spell learning right. Over the past 3 years, the business has been cited for more than 120 violations for all kinds of things, including for not having proper documentation for all of the kids there. Despite that, from 2019 to 2024, the business received nearly $8 million in federal tax money.
That is obviously federal tax money that you helped pay for, and certainly the citizens of Minnesota paid for on state income taxes in addition to federal taxes. All of this ending up in the federal coffers and in turn handed over to fraud, massive fraud. The numbers continue to escalate, and we don't really have a number that we can live with. We're told $8 billion, and that's still the tip of the iceberg of the fraud in Minnesota, just Minnesota, involving the Somali community. And, of course, once you point out it's the Somali community, you're racist. You're racist. No, I'm looking at criminal activity. I don't care who they are, what color they are, what ethnicity, what religion. If you're scamming the government and American taxpayers, you're the issue, not me calling you out. But I got to tell you, we continue to hear from some, obviously, on the left and even in the legacy media. Well, yeah, we want to go after fraud, but don't pick on the Somalia community. You're using them as a scapegoat. No. All the facts point to that community. And when I say facts, I'm talking about based on what we've seen so far. And we don't know how much bigger, as we said, it's going to happen, how much bigger it's going to get. But some of the numbers pointed out already, 98 charged, 85 of those charged are Somalia. And many of those have pled guilty or already been convicted. And we got more to come. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, December 30, 2025. We're almost wrapping up this year. And with Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to know more when we finish this hour and each hour than you do when we begin. And reminding you, we're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can watch the program while we're in progress. We are streaming video for you. When we're on the air right now, we are streaming video. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook, and you can watch the program, and everything goes up later as a podcast, both video and audio, in case you miss anything. You can always pull it up. And more importantly, you can share it with others who need to get in on this conversation. Go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, or News Talk STL for the podcast of your choice. And then forward it, share it with others, please. In our next hour, U.S. striking inside Venezuela, an oil refinery. And that could be the first of many incursions inside Venezuela if they continue what they're doing as Trump tries to shut down their exportation of crude oil. There is one company being allowed to ship out of Venezuela. It's a U.S. company. Yes, a U.S. company is still involved in Venezuelan oil. That would be Chevron. He'll give you more details on that later. And there's also backlash in the next hour. We'll tell you about Brigitte Bardot's death. I've been running a commentary today talking about, this was one of my girlfriends when I was a young boy and a young man, as were millions of young men. Yes, Brigitte Bardot is a sex symbol, a sex goddess, but those who were praising her and applauding her, some are realizing, well, I don't like her so much because she was also not only defending women's rights, but anti-Muslims infiltrating, taking over her nation of France. And that's where some have turned their back on Brigitte Bardot. She passed away over the weekend at age 91. I'll get into more details of that later in the second hour. Later this hour, John LeBoot, former New York congressman, never Trumper, will join us on the incoming New York City mayor, Mondami. And I know John has some clear, candid thoughts about what Mondami will do or not do. And our story behind the story for this hour, as we always had been doing since some weeks ago, our special feature, the 6 o'clock report, the story behind the story. In this case, today we're dealing with Prohibition. And here's a question for you. What did Anheuser-Busch do during Prohibition? That'll be coming up later, right here in this hour. In the meantime, let's switch back to what's happening in Somalia. I'm sorry, not so much Somalian community, in the side, Minnesota. Well, Governor Walz has been just asleep at the wheel.
A state audit earlier this year found that funds meant for frontline workers in Minneapolis were being scammed away. And Republicans and the administration have begun to target Somali migrants in that state. Today, in a statement to CNN, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's press office said the governor has worked for years to crack down on fraud and asked the state legislature for more authority to take aggressive action. He has strengthened oversight, including launching investigations into these specific facilities, one of which was already closed. He has hired an outside law firm to audit payments to high-risk programs. He's also shut down the Housing Stabilization Services program entirely and announced a new statewide program integrity director and supported criminal prosecutions. Phil, this is the latest chapter. We have no indication this story is anywhere close to over.
No, it's not anywhere close to over. And all we're hearing about Walz is what he's now doing. He was told repeatedly by something like 500 members of his own administration, we have fraud going on. They were blowing the whistle. They were sending up flares. They were waving flags. Look what is happening here. And they've been pointing that out for 3+ years. And Walz, don't see any evil. I don't hear any evil. I'm not going to speak any evil because I need the Somalian support to win re-election as governor. And, of course, we got a congresswoman, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, also a member of the Somalia community. And I do not want to alienate her. He has no problem with throwing his own citizens under the bus, but he will not focus on where the real issue. And, you know, we've talked about previously, I'm going to go back to it. There have been reports that Somalian men were going through the airport in Minnesota and elsewhere with bags, luggage full of bulk cash. They were stopped by TSA, but then they were told, okay, you can go and leave. You can leave with bulk cash totaling millions of dollars from our country to go to another country. You know, if at the very least you would suspect drug cartels involved, in this case, we know the money was going in part to Somalia and some of the terrorist groups in that region, and they were allowed to go forward. I want you to hear from a former Homeland Security inspector.
So we were stopping and investigating persons leaving the country with this money. And yes, they were declaring it. They weren't hiding the money. They weren't secreting it in luggage. They were declaring it. They were registered money service business couriers. However, our argument at the time and why we kept the case going, and I say we as an HSI, we really thought it knew it was, I mean, common sense was telling us this money was coming from nefarious sources, from fraud. And you can do everything legal, but if the currency you're carrying is from an illegal source, well, i.e. drug smuggling, human smuggling, illegal counterfeiting goods, whatever. If you have illegal money, that money is illegal and subject to seizure. So we kept a case open for months and months. And every time we would get called from the TSA, we would respond to the airport. We would document the case. We would, who was taking the money out, how much money, that it was declared. Even called these, my personally, I did myself call the U.S. Attorney's Office and try to get a criminal referral for bulk cash smuggling, explaining, I believe this is nefarious money. It's going out. It's from illegitimate sources. And I was politely told, no, and they're doing anything legal. They're money couriers and they're registered, you know, either with FinCEN or the state. And I'm like, nah, I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. I don't care if they are a registered courier. Where did the money originate? That's what he's pointing out. It's from illegal activities. It can be seized, but he was told, hands off. Let them go. CNN Newsnight host Abby Phillips last night discussing the fraud in Minnesota, and she said the idea this has not been investigated is completely bunk. That is not true. That is not true. Not only has it been reported, it is being investigated. Yeah, that's not. But not during the Biden administration when all this was ramping up. And here comes the New York Times' Mara Gay pointing out, you're just trying to paint the Somalians as evil people.
First of all, if there is fraud there, that should be fully investigated, no right. matter where it is, whether right. it's in a Democratic-led state, a Republican-led state. I mean, let's pull back. So absolutely, it should be investigated. The question is, you know, why is this a priority in a different kind of way? The politicization of the DOJ and the FBI is undeniable. So whether they are reliable narrators is the big question. And this is what happens when you weaponize and politicize federal agencies that are not meant to be, you know, politicized. And I think the American people are right to ask the question, well, can we trust you?
Riddle me this. Did this New York Times writer or anybody in the legacy media question how Biden weaponized the DOJ, the FBI, and everything else? No. It was acceptable procedures because we're going after Trump and MAGA people, anyone that's opposed to us. Mara Gay is one of those who speaks with a forked tongue. And yet she's saying, why not? This scandal is not just limited to Minnesota.
Let's recall, too, that there's also other scandals in other states. For example, the Mississippi welfare scandal. And this is not unique to politics. Americans know that. But of course, the other factor here is that because it looks like the Somali population in Minnesota, the Somali immigrant population may have been involved in some way. Those people are being scapegoated, and that community is being scapegoated in a way that certainly serves the far right. And so that's also something to keep an eye on. And that's inappropriate. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And it looks like they're being scapegoated, that they're involved. Documentation has shown they're involved. By the way, CNN political commentator, former Harris communication director, stated that while he does not like how Republicans, in his words, are framing fraud in Minnesota, he said Democrats have got to get their act together after going after fraud with the same level and strength and vitality about what's wrong and happening inside the government. He said we're supposed to be the party taking care of public money. We need to show the American people we'll do whatever we can to protect their tax dollars. It is typical. The horse has left the barn. Iran continues to see uprisings and the Iranians fighting against their leaders. Those protesters are facing death from Iranian soldiers.
Protests are gathering momentum in Iran, and this is already the biggest challenge to the regime since the massive demonstrations of 2021. Videos online show riot police deploying tear gas on crowds, and thousands have come out onto the streets angry about inflation and corruption. Protesters can be heard chanting, "Don't be afraid, we are all together." But others chant, "Death to the dictator." And the concern for the government will be that this anger at the economic situation morphs into a broader anti-regime movement. Iran's currency has collapsed to a record low, pushing an already heavily sanctioned economy deeper into turmoil. The protests have spread to multiple cities, and the unrest has already caused the head of the central bank to resign. The president, Masoud Pezeshkian, has taken the unusual step of acknowledging the concerns of protesters, but that isn't doing much to appease those on the street. Much of Iran's economic troubles stem from the nuclear-related sanctions reimposed by the United Nations, which froze Iranian assets abroad and limited oil trade. This is, of course, after the U.S. struck three Iranian nuclear sites over the summer. And yesterday, President Trump said the U.S. would knock the hell out of Iran if they build more weapons.
As we should. Inflation in Iran right now at 52%. And it's not going to get any better anytime soon. Here's a report on the additional fallout.
Iran's currency has fallen to historic lows, more than 1,400,000 rials for a single dollar. Iran's National Truckers Union backing the bizarre protests, calling for unity, saying it is the only way out. Universities, the chants grow louder. Students at the University of Tehran, surrounded by security forces, refusing to be silent. Do not be afraid, they chant. Students may die, but they will not accept humiliation. The U.S. State Department posted videos of the nighttime chants. American officials say they stand with the protesters.
And those students and those protesters saying, we will not accept humiliation, they're likely to get a bullet in the head. And you heard him talk about how much the rial has fallen off. That's to buy one U.S. dollar. A year ago, it would take something like 820,000 rials. That's their standard currency, 820,000. Now 1.4 million for the same dollar. Times of India updating a report of Iran.
Iran is shaking from its markets to its universities to its streets after dark. On the second day of unrest, demonstrations spread across the country, from Kesh Island in the south to Zanjan and Hamadan in the north. In Tehran province, in Malard, on the islands and in the heartland, the same words, the same rage. In Hamadan, security forces opened fire. Bullets aimed directly at protesters. In Tehran and Malard, tear gas filled the streets. And yet, the crowds did not disappear.
Bullets being fired by Iranian soldiers at their fellow citizens. This is a major uprising inside Iran, and the Iranians just want freedom. They want to be out from under the control of the dictatorship of the mullahs. And they're willing to put their lives on the land, on their line at this point. Coming up, our story behind the story, Prohibition. How it affected our nation, how it affected many, and Anheuser-Busch. And John LaBute, former New York congressman, will join us. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 844-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, on New Year's Day, a 34-year-old proclaimed Democrat socialist, I would add Marxist and communist, will become New York City's first Muslim, first Asian-American mayor, January 1, 2026, after defeating former Governor Cuomo in the November election. Elections do have consequences. And joining us, former New York Congressman John LeBoutier, never Trumper, but also a Reaganite. John, I know you don't live directly in New York City, but the ripple effects will be felt in your area. Your take as what happens New Year's Day.
Hello, Larry, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
This is the last time we'll talk till next year.
Yes, sir.
You can believe it.
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow night at midnight, they'll swear Mamdani in. And, there's ripple effects already. I'm out here in Nassau County, which is in many ways one of the most Republican counties anywhere. I think the fear of what this guy might do in the city and what he might unleash and who might come out here, move out here as a result of what's happening in the city, it's palpable. Yeah, you hear about it. Now, for a while, that's calmed down since President Trump and Mamdani met in the Oval Office a month ago, and you know, Trump was very nice to him and praised him and said, I think he's going to do a great job. I don't quite know why Trump said that.
Yeah, but I agree.
He did, you know, and we'll just, you know, I hope the guy does well. He's young. Maybe he'll be less radical in governing than he is in rhetoric.
Well, let's look at one of the appointments he made. The new fire chief has 30 years with the first responders as EMS, but knows nothing about fighting fires. But she's transsexual. Correct that, lesbian, and so he's making her the head of the fire department. Some are saying you're inviting disaster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen this with the Democrats for years, that their obsession with LGBTQ plus stuff, racial stuff, that they're obsessed with all this rather than one word, competence.
Yeah.
And when it comes to both the police and the firefighters, that's what we want the most. Now, to his credit, he kept the police commissioner, Jessica Tisch, who came in more than a year ago under Mayor, outgoing Mayor Adams, and she's been great. And the police are great in New York City. And he's not apparently tampering with that, which is a smart move on his part.
I would add so far.
So far, yeah.
I noticed there's a piece from the Gothamist. You're probably more familiar with that publication. And the Upper East Side, for many that don't know New York City, that's considered a very ritzy area. And many in the Upper East Side, according to one being interviewed, they cannot wait to see Mondami. And they say, we want you to know you'll be welcome in our wealthy community.
Yeah, well, they're guilty liberals that say that. And I don't really understand. By the way, guilty liberal, it's sort of a redundancy.
You're
<isn't>
right.
But I think those people are usually mostly white, upper income, guilty liberals. Then on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, very heavily Jewish and left wing. And they went for this guy, even the Jews.
Yeah.
Under 50 years old, voted heavily for Mamdani, even though he said some horrible things about Israel.
How do you explain that?
I think that after October 7th, you've seen sort of a dividing line of people who are standing up for Israel or for the Palestinians. And, you know, you could be in favor of having something good for the Palestinians, but you can't be anti-Israel and question whether Israel has the right to exist. I mean, American policy is that they have a right to exist, and we are there to support them. And Mamdani sort of backed down since the election. He's gotten a lot of grief, but we'll see when push comes to shove. Now, he's the mayor. He's not making foreign policy. He's got to run a city and keep it going every day. And if there's a blizzard, if there's a superstorm Sandy and right. there's floods, you know, that's not ideological. That's not whether you like Israel or not. That's whether you can deliver and help people get through the day in New York City. I don't know if this guy can do it. You never know till they have to do it, whether they can or not.
That's a good point. So are you suggesting we withhold judgment on what he might be doing in New York City?
I do.
Okay.
I withhold judgment of anybody who's been elected and they're taking office. You got to give them a honeymoon. You got to give them a little bit of time to get their feet on the ground. The old expression, you know, figure out where the men's room is and all that stuff.
I can accept that. And I've always accepted that and have that opinion. But when a guy comes in declaring, I'm all for socialism and Marxism, basically.
Well, yeah. And you know, he made some promises in the campaign. So he wants to have free buses in New York City, which is not under his purview. The buses, the MTA, Metropolitan Transportation Authority, is under the purview of the governor, not the mayor. So he can't make buses be free. And he has talked to Kathy Hochul, the governor, who's running for reelection next year and doesn't want a challenge from her left. So she has stuck close to Mamdani. There's talk she might take one or two bus lines, Larry, in New York and make it free and make that an experiment to see if it works.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes.
That's one thing they've talked about. Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is he promised, and he can do this, and I think he will, and I'm using the term grocery store, but the one in New York they use is a bodega where you go to buy food items. He wants to have the city run a couple of them and have the costs be much cheaper for consumers because of this affordability crisis.
Speaking of that, he's getting ready to move into Gracie Mansion. He's leaving the rent-controlled apartment he's been in, and it's going to go up about 35 to 40% because rent controls will take effect or lift, be lifted. And he's going to mean whoever takes over his apartment will be paying something like $800 a month more than what he's paying. So does that suggest I am the mayor. I am more elite and more special than you. I mean, I see that every time with these leftists when they step out and say, we're going to take care of you. No, they're taking care of their own.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of the job is to live in Gracie Mansion. It's like the president living in the White House.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think it means much. I mean, what he wants to do is get rid of rent control and make it even more stringent, which landlords are going crazy over. They can't make rent to keep up with increased costs of fuel, taxes, interest rates, all that stuff. Then they're not going to want to own buildings anymore.
Let me take a moment.
He's got this delicate dance between courting the business community,
right,
which is where the tax revenue in New York City comes from, and alienating them by driving up their taxes. He's got to figure this out.
Let me take a moment and move you into Minnesota.
Yeah, he's going to get an education on the job. He's a young guy that he's never really done anything in his life.
He's going to find out in a hurry. A trial by fire at that point. Very quickly,
I've lost
John.
You, Larry.
Sir. Oh, you hear me now?
I'm not hearing anything.
You hear me now, sir?
There I am.
Okay, good.
Anybody hear me?
Yes, sir. Very quickly.
Good.
Very quickly. Your thoughts on the Somalia fraud in Minnesota?
Well, it sounds like it's a huge deal, and now I hear that it might be in other states also. So let's get to the bottom of it. And I don't care if it's under a Democratic governor, Republican governor. If there's all these billions going down the toilet and into the wrong people's pockets, somebody's got to go to jail.
I agree. But many of those protecting the Somali community and just leaning to the left anyway, say, you're attacking them because of Somalia.
Again, Larry.
Oh, boy. What a way to wrap up the year with John Lebutier. Yeah, dadgummit, John. I guess they heard you say one thing too wrong about Mondami and everything else. John Lebutier, we will have him back on at the beginning of the new year, but unfortunately, that's how we have to end this. Well, if you can hear me at all, John, I'm wishing the most happy and prosperous 2026. So
same to you.
Oh, well, good.
Same
you
to
did
you, Larry.
Hear.
Happy New Year.
If you heard nothing else, I'm glad you heard that. John, I look forward to talking to you again next year.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, Larry. Same.
Thank you,
okay,
sir.
Happy New Year.
Yes,
thanks.
Sir.
Bye.
John Lebutier, former New York congressman. And he's made it very clear, Mondami, yes, he's new, doesn't know what he's going to do, and you might want to give him some allowance, but when I hear what he preaches, I don't like what he preaches. And if he's going to continue to follow that route that got him elected, that's not going to be good for New York and New Yorkers and those around the area. But we'll see. We'll see. The new feature we started in our 6 o'clock report, the story behind the story. And today, Prohibition. And partly in the impact it had on Anheuser-Busch.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I love you on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. It must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Some of the music you might hear during Prohibition, especially at the speakeasies. Now, speakeasies suddenly came to light because they were secret bars flourishing under the U.S. prohibition of liquor. The 18th Amendment prohibited alcohol. The Volstead Act defined intoxicating liquors and provided enforcement, though it did not ban consumption or possession, only production, sale, and transport. So if you went into speakeasy, they couldn't bust you for simply being there to drink. But you couldn't produce it. And, of course, the speakeasy would be guilty of selling it. And somewhere along the line, there was transportation to get it to the speakeasy. Prohibition primarily referring to the 1920 to 33 era of our nation. And, of course, it eventually ended with the 21st Amendment. It was a legal ban on something like smoking in public places when you get down to it. But this had more of reaction and backlash across our nation. It created unintended consequences, such as the rise of speakeasies, but more importantly, bootleggers and moonshine. We'll talk more about moonshine a little bit later, but gangsters like Al Capone profited from the illegal alcohol. And, of course, allegations that the Kennedy family did the same thing, bringing in alcohol from Canada or elsewhere. The Prohibition era was brought on because there was a opposition, and many are saying it was mostly Protestants trying to end the trade in alcohol drinks. They were looking at what they considered a society beset by alcohol-related issues, such as alcoholism, domestic violence, saloon-based political corruption. And many communities already introduced alcohol bans and prior to that. And then you have the enforcement of the new prohibition laws. That became a big topic of debate. The prohibition supporters, called dry, presented it as a battle for public morals and health. The progressives took out that movement for the prohibition, Democrat and Republican parties, gaining a national grassroots base through the Women's Christian Temperance Union. Then in the 1900s, it was coordinated by the Anti-Saloon League. Well, you had the industry, beer industry in particular, organizing wet supporters from the Catholic and German Lutheran families. By 1920, there was a new opposition to prohibition. because they were beginning to realize, what is this actually doing? Is it stopping alcoholism? Not necessarily. Folks are finding other ways to get it. Is it changing any of the public morals? No, not really. Was it creating more crime? Yes. You had illegal crime going on, not just selling and transporting, but the gangs, such as we were saying, Al Capone and others built their trade upon prohibition. You recall Elliot Ness and the Untouchables. That was the group put together to target bootlegging. And they would raid these numerous places and bust up barrels and barrels of beer. And they would consider that a success. But they could not stay above and in constant control of the beer being brought in. It would arrive in so many different ways. And then you had those producing beer in their own bathtubs to some extent, or creating whiskey in a still in some far area that was out of reach of the revenuers, hopefully. I'm looking at some reports dealing with prohibition and how it did or did not have any benefits. There is research that indicates alcohol consumption did decline substantially due to prohibition. It was sometimes tough to get unless you knew the speakeasy and unless you knew a code. You know, one of my sponsors, Oak Street Inn and Lounge, has a speakeasy. You can get in with a code, and of course, you can also just knock. They'll let you in. They like to call it that way, and it has a atmosphere of an old speakeasy. And once you're inside, you could mentally transport yourself back to the 1920s, that you're in a real speakeasy. But you're not. But it's part of the culture and the fame of what happened during that time. The Americans who wanted to continue drinking alcohol found the loopholes they needed, or they used, as we said, illegal methods. They had the black markets. Crime syndicates came to light. We did see rates of liver cirrhosis, alcohol psychosis, infant mortality declined during Prohibition. Because of the lack of uniform national stats, we did not know if how much crime actually declined. It's difficult to draw conclusions. But when the Congress ratified the 18th Amendment, November 18, 1918, that basically became a wartime prohibition act, which banned the sale of alcohol beverages with an alcohol content greater than 1.28%. That was intended to save grain for the war effort. That was the main issue for it. And when the Senate proposed the 18th Amendment, and it was ratified by the 36th state on January 16, 1919, and then ratified as part of the Constitution, the country went dry 1 year later, January 17, 2020. But, I said 1920, January 17, 1920. But it was not dry if you knew where to find the alcohol or you knew how to create your own. And there is where you had the various stills break up and be created. Moonshine and moonshine running. And then what happened to major beer producers such as Anheuser-Busch? Well, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton. Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Let me tell the story, I can tell it all, about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, son he drove the load. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town, the revenuers chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road. There was
thunder. That was a 1958 movie, Thunder Road, starring Robert Mitchum. And the reason it stands out in my mind, that was one of the movies Dad actually took us to see. Dad was not a movie fan. But we went to the drive-in theater, the kids playing on the playground equipment till the movie started. Then we had to go back to the car. But Dad was absolutely entranced by Thunder Road. And I have to question, I never did directly. Dad, did you know any of the bootleggers running whiskey or the stills? I never brought that up because I did not have the courage. And I wasn't sure what the answer would be. In my own mind, I'd already decided he was aware that his parents and maybe grandparents had been involved. The law was unclear when it came to making any alcohol, and particularly wine, as a matter of fact. The American grape industry began selling kits of juice concentrate with warnings not to let them sitting around too long. They might ferment and turn into wine. Wink, wink, right? And there were many hardware stores making these wine kits available. Instructions could be found in public libraries and pamphlets issued by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And so they were doing their best to control not just consumption, but creation of spirits. You also had the pharmaceutical industry deeply involved. They were, at that time, pharmacies were allowed to dispense whiskey by prescription for any number of ailments. You got anxiety, influenza, and that was another way to do it. And pharmacies were a perfect front for the bootleggers. The number of registered pharmacists in New York State tripled during the Prohibition era. No surprise there. They had a lot of clients. They want to know, how do I get taken care of my influenza? And I got a little cold. I need something to drink. Right. When the Prohibition era began, January 19, 1920, many predicted this is not going to go well. In fact, Massachusetts town had banned the sale of alcohol in 1844. An enterprising tavern owner at that point took to chain charging patrons for the price of seeing a striped pig. And if you saw the striped pig and paid for it, you'd get drinks free with admission. So he was not selling alcohol. Well, this law was meant to curtail all of that. Anheuser-Busch was already in operation. What were they going to do? Well, during Prohibition, Anheuser-Busch had to pivot from beer to over 25 non-alcoholic products. They had the popular near beer and malt syrups and baker's yeast ice cream, even building truck bodies and refrigerated units, all keeping their core brewery and structure or infrastructure and workers intact because they wanted to be ready when Prohibition ended. And everyone was sure, shortly after it started, it's going to end. No one likes it. They'll put an end to it. So Anheuser-Busch turned to the near beer and malt products. They used a malt extract that could be used for home brewing. So it could still be brewed by you through Anheuser-Busch. As we said, food and beverages, they went into ice cream, infant formula, frozen eggs, carbonated drinks. Then started creating refrigerated truck bodies, ice cream cabinets. And all this, of course, getting ready for not just the new ventures of that, but to be ready when Prohibition ended. And they used patriotic advertising promoting the health benefits of their non-alcoholic products to the temperance crowd. So by staying active and innovative, Anheuser-Busch not only kept many employees working, but preserved the brewing capabilities so they could quickly resume full production when, in fact, it ended. And, of course, it did. The 18th Amendment had put it in place, but there was another amendment yet to come, as we saw more and more step forward and say, I don't want this. The opposition to Prohibition emerged nationwide. And the other thing that really hammered it home, taxes. Now, those creating moonshine were avoiding the revenuers, not paying taxes on what they created. They weren't supposed to be created in any way, but at the same time, they were to be taxed. Well, you're not going to tax an illegal product unless you can find it. And you're not going to tax it then. You're going to look to destroy it. Therefore, the Thunder Road movie with Robert Mitchum made absolute sense and absolutely mirrored what was happening in the nation. The initial supporters of prohibition really thought this would work for them. They thought sales of clothing out of their household goods would skyrocket. Expected rents to rise as saloons closed, neighborhoods improved. But that's not what happened. Restaurants failed. They couldn't make a profit without the alcohol sales. Theater revenues declined rather than increased. The effects of the prohibition were largely negative. And the unintended consequences of prohibition did not stop there. As we said, one of the most profound effects was tax revenue. Before prohibition, many states relied heavily on excise taxes and liquor sales to fund their budgets, as they do now. The tax on liquor, that's still a big issue. And in fact, in New York, almost 75% of that state's revenue was derived from liquor taxes in that period of time. So prohibition, you saw all this revenue lost. At the national level, they estimate prohibition cost the federal government $11 billion in lost tax revenue. That was, again, in the prohibition era. We're talking about the 1920s. $11 billion based on that time then and in today's world, $11 billion. And it cost something like $300 million to enforce, and they could not be efficient with enforcing it. The most lasting consequence, they say, is that many states and federal government would then turn to the income tax revenue to fund their budgets. We're not getting revenue from alcohol, then we'll just tax the citizens directly. That was a great idea, wasn't it? How do you like it now? Well, there we had it, passed through and became 68% supermajority in the House of Representatives, 76% support in the Senate, 46 out of 48 states enforcing the Volstead Act. Basically, prohibition began until the 23rd Amendment came in and it turned it upside down. And that's where we are today. Prohibition. Part of our story behind the story. Monday, our story behind the story, the Memphis Belle, and other stories of our World War II pilots. Our second hour is coming up. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. You and I might have something in common, back pain. I can tell you where I go for help, Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40. 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details, plus gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.